American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you for the Internet for Tuesday, March 22nd, 2005. If you didn't know it, this would be Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against the corporate political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. And you'll know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, "Today I smoke my Cohiba Esplendidos," which Sumerian brought me back. I talked about it the other day, but I've decided that today, being the first day of spring, I'm going to celebrate spring in a typically human way by lighting a bunch of nature's leaves in my mouth and sucking on the burning embers until the smoke fills my lungs and thereby getting me closer to killing me, which in some sort of crazy way is very poetic and extremely angst-ridden and very full of pathos. It's also, why not, it's first day of spring for me because, you know, this is a time-traveling program. This was actually recorded yesterday, going forward to today, such as the first day of spring was actually program was recorded on Sunday. So therefore, in order to smoke the cigar on the day of spring, I would have to have done it yesterday, which is your today right now. Okay? You still with me? Good to go. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio and the Music Box Network. And if you actually are running, you know, some massive conglomerate station, you know, all you Fox executives out there, or any armed forces or law enforcement bands that could be listening in and taping this broadcast, please, you know, you don't have to actually listen in. You don't have to tap my phones. You can just broadcast this on your CBs. You know, you can send it out through voicemail to all the CIA guys. You know, that's fine. We totally don't have a problem with that because we like law enforcement here on Rant and Music Box. We think that they're just, you know, the greatest people in the world. Oh, pardon me. Box Music, not Music Box. It's like a weird sort of mental thing where I want to call it Music Box. I did that yesterday, too. But incidentally, you know, hello, all my law enforcement brethren, and do not worry, you're free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. So when you come to arrest me for whatever reasons, you know, it's nothing personal. You know, I understand that. It's just because we live in a draconian time. It is. It's just we live in a draconian time. I still don't have a problem with cops. Got a lot of email about that. Nothing specific. I don't want to get too much into the feedback, but I've had a lot of people email me about the whole cop thing. They're like, "Hey, Sean, you know, I don't know, man, this thing with the cops, you're kind of down with the cops, but the cops are really the soldiers of the future, blah, 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 you know, the tools of the core political, all that good stuff." Well, yes, they are. There's no two ways about it. The police officer and the law enforcement official is a tool of the core political, but they're still people. And I think that if cooperation with law enforcement, I mean, you can't not cooperate with law enforcement. You got to bear that in mind. I mean, what's your alternative? You either cooperate with law enforcement or you don't cooperate with law enforcement. If you do not cooperate with law enforcement, well, then law enforcement shoots you because that's what law enforcement does. So you basically have to kind of, well, go along with what law enforcement says. Otherwise, you're in trouble. And anything that doesn't go along with law enforcement, make sure they can't tie it to you. And quite honestly, I think there's going to be a lot of law enforcement people in the future that when they search, you know, let's say, for example, law enforcement were to jack me. You know, they get ordered from on high. They got to go, you know, screw over Sean Kennedy. Well, there's going to be a lot of law enforcement CSIS guys who listen to my broadcast. And some of them would agree with what I'm saying, I think, personally. Having met a lot of those people, I think there'd be a great number of them who go, you know, this guy's just trying to help people. He's just trying to communicate with kids. You know, he's trying to teach kids how to, you know, get ahead, try to keep everybody sane, not just the kids. I call everyone kids. Don't feel bad. I call my mom kid. But still, you see what I'm saying? You know, so I don't think anyone who's listened to the broadcast is quite aware that I'm not some fundamentalist psychopath who's, you know, trying to get kids to hurt other kids. That's very apparent. As a matter of fact, could be argued that I have bent over backwards 16 different ways to make sure that nobody hurts anybody. You know, so I think that's one of the reasons why I'm still on the air, to be honest with you. I mean, realistically, when you look at all the damage that's being done to free speech and rights and everything else and lawsuits and all the rest of it, that's the only explanation I can come up with why law enforcement hasn't knocked on my door. Of course, when the law enforcement did knock on my door, which is true. This is a true story. I got law enforcement was investigating a friend of mine who's going to remain nameless. And it was the heavy law enforcement. It wasn't, you know, Cowboy Bob. This was the serious crimes unit who showed up at my house. And they were like, oh, we understand you do internet stuff and blah, 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 blah. None of this I tell them, of course, but they know all this coming into it. So, like a good fella, you know, I showed them all around my house. You know, I got nothing to hide, and I was right open. I showed them my shop. I showed them, you know, my study. Showed them everything. I'm like, you betcha, no trouble here, because I've got nothing to hide. You know, I'm just an honest fella. Now, when they decide to come in here and, you know, nail me for whim laws, and they'll go through all my books and decide I've got bad books and all the rest of it because I'm a writer, blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, they can nail me that way. But my bottom line here is that if and when law enforcement does come for me, I think that there'll be a few law enforcement officials who will take my side. They'll say, man, this guy's getting screwed over. Now, the trick is, if you are in a position like this, is to not have anything in your house or in your possession that can be linked to you that they can charge you with. Now, this is something that a lot of people don't think about. It's like, you know what? Hey, guys, if, you know, you've got stuff that is illegal or is against the law or could be construed as being against the law, you, A, need a reason to have it. Like, I've got all sorts of military books, but that's cool because I'm a writer, right? You got to have your reference books. I got a whole library. I got books on everything in here. Okay, it's not just one shelf of books on, you know, military stuff. I got a massive library, which I, you know, I go through. I got books on occult stuff, so it's believable. You know, I'm a writer. That's why I've got all this stuff. If you've got books like that, maybe you should think about where you got them and blah, 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 blah. Or maybe, you know, diversify your library. Provide a reason to have all this stuff so that your innocence is apparent. Furthermore, of course, everybody's going to be practicing not only encryption, but data destruction on their PCs for unauthorized login. So, therefore, they have nothing to enforce you with there. The worst they can nail you with there is, you know, destruction of evidence, maybe, or some such crime. But, I mean, realistically, you're not going to do jail time for wiping out a hard drive. Man, if they knew what was on the hard drive, you know, they could speculate from here to, you know, you could have had Osama bin Laden's GPS droid and it's on that hard drive, but they don't know. So I'm a big believer that you should be practicing data security and data destruction. I don't have a chance to be honest, to be fair, you know, I'm going to stand up and say, yeah, no, I haven't got a chance to hook it up yet. You know, why not? I guess I'm lazy. But for all of you out there, there's no excuse why you can't do it. I have to do a show every day. So therefore, all you little snotty punk kids out there who's, you know, under the age of 20, there's no reason why any of you do not have completely powerful, you know, Russian encryption on all of your equipment. That's what I think, anyway. I can't see any reason why not every single living human being doesn't have either encryption or data destruction procedures, especially since yesterday's Daily Hack. Have you made that data destruction disk yet? Have you? Well, you should have. Because it's a scary world we're living in, folks, and all of our rights are slowly going right out the window. So now more than ever, you know, get off your ass. Make sure that you got data security going. Do it right now. Come on. While you're listening to the show. You can run it in the background. It's just a little MP3 file. You can run this in the background while you go. Click on yesterday's Daily Hack. Find where you can get that Derek's Boot and Nuke. Make that disc. Keep it handy because you know what? You may need to use it. I'm not joking. It's a scary world we got. Going straight into the news, we got some thing about BitTorrent. Yes, as you have probably heard, BitTorrent has been attacked. The Australian Music Industry's anti-piracy unit said that 50 file sharing hubs were closed down this week following a raid on internet service provider Swiftel Communications. On Wednesday, Swiftel, which allegedly owns and operates computer infrastructure that hosts web pages using BitTorrent file sharing software. So they own and operate a computer infrastructure that hosts web pages that use BitTorrent. Wow. I mean, that's like three or four different steps there. I feel kind of bad for the guys who got nailed for this. You know, but I guess, you know, hey, you're using, you know, bad software, I suppose. I mean, that's how it works. And this was ordered by the Federal Magistrates Court to take down any sites containing copyrighted material. Interesting. Michael Speck, a representative of the anti-piracy unit, said a survey carried out by the group's computer forensic experts revealed a dynamic reduction in the number of active file-sharing hubs. Speck is a general manager of the Music Industry Piracy Investigations, which is part of the Australian Recording Industry Association. So this is what we have here is a classic example of a corporate war. This is a corporate espionage war. Like it or not, you know, whether or not they've got a legal leg to stand on, okay, what we're looking at here is law enforcement being manipulated by the music industry. Okay, now, when you have law enforcement being influenced by a corporation, okay, never mind the fact, yes, it's piracy, blah, 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 we got all that covered, okay, yes, okay, fine, yeah, you know, they're taking music, regardless of whether or not they're stealing it. you have a specific organization that answers to and enforces the music industry's will. Okay? First of all, anything to do with this should not be a criminal matter. It should be a civil matter. You know, this is not theft, all, you know, in that way. What's a song worth, 50 cents? If that, this is entirely a civil matter. The fact that, you know, you can be criminally charged with bringing a camera into a movie theater. I mean, yeah, okay, you shouldn't be denied access. Sure, sure. But criminal charges? Are you a threat to society with that camera? Are you a threat to society for circulating music? No, not a threat to society. Then maybe you shouldn't have law enforcement enforcing the music industry's will. Just sort of a thought here. Just sort of a general idea. Spec said 50 of the 63 websites that fell within the MIPI's investigated threshold were shuttered. In addition, he said that there was noticeable decline in the number of Australian users accessing the allegedly illegal hubs. So all the Australians are okay. It's everybody else in the world. Spec also said comments now appearing on major file sharing websites suggest that hub owners were aware of legal action against Swiftel and have decided to act by shutting down their file exchanges. Yeah, fucking rights they are. You goddamn straight. You got the Aussie cops going in there seizing everything in sight. Yeah, you damn straight. I'm shutting everything down. Not to say that it's going to stay shut down. You're just going to promote people to move. You can't stop this. People need music. Okay, you're not going to be able to shut it down. Sorry, you can really make our lives difficult, but you're not going to kill it. If you want to spend the money for the war on music, you go right ahead. But, you know, you're not going to stop it because there's more of us and we're smarter. Nothing personal. Yeah, I mean, you can take me out too, but I'm telling you the fucking truth. He said one of the sites under surveillance recorded 1,606 users on a particular day. Shortly after the raids, they become completely inactive within a week. Well, of course. You know, you fire a shot into the bush, everybody's going to take off. It's just another example of law enforcement bowing to core political will. And there's another core political slap attack in the news. Check this out. Along a narrow dirt road, about 90 minutes from Tasmania's provincial capital of Hobart, lies a small residential community of Lucastown. Now, this is in New Zealand, obviously. Oh, no, wait, Australia. Tasmania. Is Tasmania? Tassie? Where's Tassie now? Is that New Zealand or is that in... I think it's in New Zealand. Ooh, I'm really showing my geographical ignorance here. It's an area of rugged natural beauty that draws people looking to live a quiet life. A couple hundred acres of bush, wet forest thick with ferns and the like. Splendid it is, says Lou Grahey, as she describes her home. Lou Grahey, as she describes her homestead near the top of slope along a rolling valley. This is all Lord of the Rings type territory. Along with her fisherman husband, this grandmother has dreamt of setting up an ecotourism retreat here. Ideally, this would mean a little more than buildings and a few cabins in the bush, allowing city folk to come trapeze through the primordial old-growth forest that carpet this Ireland-sized isle off the southern tip of Australia. Aha! I was right, it was New Zealand. So when a few years ago, the timber conglomerate Guns Limited, I'm not kidding, that's the name of this company, announced plans to clear-cut the slopes below her house and run massive haul rigs right past her home. Grahey did what most concerned residents would do. She talked to elected officials, she went to meetings, eventually showed up at the protests and waved banners and stand in the way of logging trucks. But while her response may have been typical, the timber company's was not. So, we got a timber company going in, they're going to cut down her whole, you know, area, and she's like, fuck that, no chance, I'm going to get up there and protest. So she does. She goes all legal route, she stands the protest, and now it's happened 2 weeks before Christmas. On December 14th, 2004, Guns stunned Australia's conservation community. Guns, the company, stunned the Australian conservation community by filing a 216-page, this is the logging company now, they filed a 216-page, $6.3 million Australian claim against a group of activists and organization, including Grahey. Guns, the world's largest wood chip exporter, claimed that the group has cost the company millions and demanded their money back. So they're suing the protesters. The most costly allegation, environmentalists conspire to pressure Japanese buyers out of doing business with Guns. The demands were to be accompanied by threats, express and implied, reads the writ, of adverse publicity, consumer boycotts, and direct action against Japanese customers and all of their operations. So blah, blah, blah. This environmental group applies pressure, nonviolent pressure, direct action pressure. For corporate campaign activists, all those tactics are fairly standard fare. Guns, however, is asking the courts to declare such activity illegal. So, this forestry giant, largest wood chip exporter in the world, making all those lovely old growth trees into wood chips, is now suing the environmentalists because the environmentalists protested the slaughter of their forest. Now, here's the problem. If, you know, why even bother protesting? Because that's what it says. You know, like, don't if you don't like it, shut up. This is the problem with the legal system, okay? Is what they're doing here legal? Oh, you can bank it is. Guns has got the money. They're probably going to, they might even win, too. But they're going to tie up these conservationists because they know the conservationists are people who are little old ladies worried about their backyard. Now, people go, well, I guess that's just the way it is. That's just how things are going to work out. I mean, you can't get past that, Sean. You know, there's always going to be the core politicals, and they got the money, and they're going to beat us all down through what? The legal system? I guess. There's no other way around it, unless, of course, you go more direct action than what we're currently doing. Which, you know, it's unfortunate that it might come to that. I mean, they're talking about doing that stuff in Peru and in the Amazon. All along the Amazon, there's, you know, all sorts of indigenous tribes there. They're kind of pissed off that everybody's burning down one of the Earth's major oxygen producers. Can't imagine why. You know, why would they possibly be upset with something that creates the world's oxygen being destroyed? I can't figure that out. But if you were going to pick up a rifle and defend something, don't you think you should pick up a rifle and defend the world's natural oxygen supply from the idiots who decide that they want to cut it down to make beef? I mean, I don't know. I don't think I'm really talking extremist action here. It's kind of like if the boat sinks and there's a couple of lifeboats and you're at capacity on the lifeboat and there's more people trying to climb on the lifeboat, eventually you have to start hitting people with the oars to kill them so they won't get on the lifeboat. Otherwise, everyone will die. This is a very, you know, meat metal reality. And it seems to me that we have, you know, it's a little blue marble. I mean, correct me anywhere where I'm wrong here. Okay, is there something else that produces more oxygen than the Amazon rainforest? Because I don't really know. I mean, you know, this Leahy chick, she's quite obviously tried to stop this deforestation. She's gone all the routes, and now she's being sued for it. Not only did it did not matter, she's further in the hole for standing up against it. So what does that say? You know, I don't know if they'll get it, but you can bank that if Guns wins this, you're going to see this have global cascading lawsuits against environmental groups. You can just bank that that'll go through the industry news like oh, man. That'll be the new, you know, counterpunch for all these groups. And then, of course, organizations will have to become more fragmented, more able to switch names and do the legalese dance. It's such bullshit. There's got to be a better way. One person has a better idea. Well, a bunch of people have a better idea. I've heard of this thing called the MetaNet. Have you heard about this thing? The MetaNet is the answer to the internet. Now, there's a lot of people who decided that, you know, why abandon the internet? But the internet's gradually, you know, slowly, there's a large net war that's going on here. We got AOL trying to, you know, filter the internet. You got Microsoft and everybody else trying to lock the internet down. So the internet itself may have to evolve. And one of the ideas for evolution on that is the MetaNet. And you may ask, what is the MetaNet? The MetaNet is a new IP network that has been built, starting again from scratch. That's called the MetaNet. And what is it? It's a full IP network. And what are the principles behind the MetaNet? Anonymity. Anonymity is the foremost in this system. So, for those of us WOGs out there who understand the importance of privacy, the MetaNet might be something you want to look at. What's the point? There's lots of reasons why you might want to join such a network. I won't list them here. This is from the page I'm reading from. However, if you're happy with the way things are currently, go back to your pap-fed, TV-induced, brain-numbing stupor and smile for the nice, pretty pictures, the short, snappy sound bites, and cower in fear at the Fox News alerts. Feel free not to engage. And what does it run, this lovely MetaNet? It currently has web servers, FTP servers, wikis, DNS, search engines, email, IRC, IMN, BitTorrent. And what can it run? It can run anything that you can run on the other internet. It works just as the internet works, but instead of the physical capability stretch across the ocean bottom, we use virtual cables created with OpenVPN and FreeSWAN routing. Routing is a major problem with anonymous networking, but a very clever man invented a clever cube network arrangement with trinary routing. The VPN is implemented in OpenVPN, and the routing uses BGP, BGPD from Quagga. How big is it? Nobody knows. It is not possible to find out. So this is a very interesting thing here, this MetaNet. And I think perhaps that if they keep pushing, If they keep fucking with us, and if they don't leave the cyberpunks alone, it may just be possible for us to go, fine, let's go back to the beginning the way it was, because back in the day, it was just a bunch of guys posting on BBS boards, and we got the data around just fine. The only thing that restricted us back then was not technology, which made all the script kiddies able to access it. What it was bandwidth. Well, now the bandwidth is through the roof, so if you think somehow that everyone has gotten more stupid and has forgotten the days of the BBS posting and of the news groups before Napster, okay, before Kazaa, before Grabbit and all the rest of it. Well, Grabbit's a news group one, but still, if you think that if by banning all this, what you're just all you're going to do is you're trying to last through smoke, you'll never ever win. And it's unfortunate that these companies believe that. And you know, they pump it out, into the news, they pump it onto Fox News Channel. They think that they can actually stop piracy on the web, and they can't. They cannot, because things like this occur. So in one way, it's kind of frustrating because I see the massive waste of money and the unnecessary waste of money that these massive corporations are doing in their war on music. And it's ridiculous. It's totally pointless. Further to that, we think that the music's cool. We're not even the enemies here. We're the consumers. We're the guys trying to get the music. What are you people thinking? Oh, well, that's what greed does. I guess, you know, you kind of get that money addiction and you can't really think too straight. But, you know, by all means, you'll learn the hard way. You know, feel free to knock yourself out, guys. And there's an interesting idea about drugs, the natural way. Hear this one. Taking narcotics may be part of our evolutionary inheritance. This is a crazy idea. If drugs are so bad for us, why do so many people use them? Because they helped our ancestors survive, argue two anthropologists, which could be said. I mean, if you can hunt faster by eating the kola nut beans, chances are guys who eat the kola nut beans will live longer. Our predilection for psychotropic substances is usually seen as a biological accident. The conventional view is that drugs fool the brain into thinking it's getting a reward, when in fact it is not. But anthropologists Robert Sullivan of the University of Auckland and Edward Hagen of the University of California of Santa Barbara point that our ancestors were exposed to plants containing narcotic substances for millions of years. In the April issue of Addiction, they argue that we are predisposed to drug-taking because we evolved to seek out plants rich in alkaloids. Consuming such plants could have a basic survival strategy. Stimulant alkaloids like nicotine and cocaine could have been exploited by our human ancestors to help them endure harsh environmental conditions. Well, that's true, because they used to call, you know, cocaine Bolivian marching powder. Solomon says, for example, until recently, Australian Aborigines used a nicotine-rich plant, pituri, to help them endure desert travel without food. And Andeans still chew coca leaves to help them work with high altitudes. Well, that's got to be a good time. Let's get me some of them coca leaves. But in Pacific cultures, where chewing betel nuts is still widespread, it is seen more as a source of food and energy than a drug, Sullivan says. And some drugs do have real nutritional value. For example, 100 grams of coca leaf contain more than U.S. recommended daily intake of calcium, phosphorus, iron, vitamins A, B2, and E. Jesus. I'm going to get me a coca plant. That's the good stuff. Get tired? I'm going to mount out on my coca plant. And in some marginal environments, people's diets have been so poor that they struggle to produce enough neurotransmitters of their own, consuming plants containing substances that mimic neurotransmitters that could have helped make up for the shortfall. Sullivan and Hagen speculate. They say this part of their theory could be tested by depriving animals of certain neurotransmitters to see if they could choose to eat root foods rich in the substances, which they will do. Children will do this as well. That's why you'll get infant kids who go and they have nothing natural in their diet. They're looking for minerals and stuff, and they'll wind up eating the cat shit out of the box. Because on the very base level, the children are little, tiny, undeveloped animals, and their body, they're just simply responding to whatever they can put in their mouth to get nourishment. Sick, twisted, and fucking weird, but there it is. Now, along with the sick, twisted, and weird, we have AIDS 2.0. Now, you remember about that guy who got nailed with the AIDS virus, this new evolving one? There's a bit of a follow-up on this. And I'm a little concerned about the AIDS epidemic. They hit us right with this avian bird flu, which is ridiculous. It's a totally, you know, almost practically fabricated, I find. The research shows that it's just another scare tactic. But nobody's talking about the second version of AIDS, when realistically AIDS is killing a shitload of people. And now we've got a mutated strain of this that nobody's talking about. So here's the follow-up. And the last few months have been exciting. For the medical industry. How about terrifying? First, there was the nevirapine scandal in the NIH, and then the FDA falls apart over prescription drugs, and now, with a bang, AIDS 2.0 has arrived in New York City. For those who don't remember, on February 12th, the New York Times announced that a rare strain of HIV that is highly resistant to virtually all antiretroviral drugs appears to lead the rapid onset of AIDS was detected. So they got this, you know, super AIDS or super HIV strain. The carrier was a New York City man in his mid-40s who engaged in unprotected anal sex with multiple partners, hundreds of men, in recent weeks while using crystal methamphetamine. Now, that's interesting, because before I thought he was a junkie. Didn't anyone else read that this guy was a homeless junkie? Now he's a gay man who had hundreds of partners in recent weeks. How many partners do gay men have in a couple of weeks? Okay, honest to God, do you really believe that there's gay men out there fucking 200 men? Because hundreds employs more than 100. So we'll go with the minimum. You know, 2 weeks, 200 men. So let's see. That's seven. Seven goes into, you got 7 days. So we'll go 2 weeks. That's 14 days. 14 goes into 200, 10, you know, a little bit more than, you know, 15 times 14, something like that. A day. Okay? A day. So don't you think that, you know, let's go with minimums. Let's say they rounded up. Let's say he had sex with 14 partners or 10 partners a day. 10 different sexual partners a day this guy had anal sex with, according to this article. Now, what made this man's HIV different? I don't know. Simply, he took lots of pharmaceuticals and got sick anyway. Clearly, the AIDS drugs, which are supposed to cure his infection, weren't able to do this, allowing the virus to make him very ill. Does any of this sound kind of weird to you? A New York City official told the Times that it was his first time this had ever happened. Let me get this straight. This guy has had sex with 10 partners a day for 2 weeks. You know, come on now. This isn't fucking even realistic. This article is so fucked it's not even funny. That said, a similar case does appear on medical record. A 2001 case study of British Medical Journal tells the story of a 26-year-old man who is HIV positive, who started taking stavudine, danastatine, and nevirapine, or whatever the hell it is, all AIDS drugs, who received no other treatment. The patient began to experience malaise and pain in the upper abdomen. These symptoms worsened, and 3 weeks later, he was admitted to hospital with severe pain, vomiting, fever, and tenderness in the upper abdomen. The doctors, perhaps not familiar with the benefits of treatment, or unaware that they had a super virus on their hands, made an unusual choice. All drugs were stopped. The report notes the patient made an uneventful recovery without the conservative treatment. He's no longer taking antiretroviral drugs. So wait a second, they got a guy who comes in with AIDS, he's having a huge attack, they take him off the drugs, and he gets better. This suggests that AIDS drugs themselves might cause illness. It also implies that you recover without the life-saving drug cocktail, which, of course, is nonsense, as any good doctor will tell you. Now, there's something going on with all the drugs they're feeding people. It's a sickness industry. And because I'm a cynic, I look at this kind of a thing and I go, okay, first of all, I think that it's highly unlikely that anybody, I don't care if you're gay, straight, or bi, is having sex with 10 people a day in a two-week span. Just me. You know? Just me. So, moving on, we got another sad story about a Canadian who was arrested for being a blogger. Which is, I'm really glad that, shit, if they arrested this guy at the border, imagine what they would have done to me when I was in New York. This sounds like an unbelievable story, but it happened to Canadian blogger Jeremy Wright last week. As already reported on quite a few blogs, Jeremy was detained and interrogated by U.S. Immigration when he arrived in New York last week for a meeting with McGraw-Hill to discuss a great business opportunity for Jerry in the area of blogging. It appears that immigration people simply did not believe Jerry could make a living as a blogger. They gave him the third degree, including a humiliating strip search, and as a result, for some hours. And banned him as well from entering the U.S., so he never did get down there. Incredibly, Jeremy wrote a detailed commentary on his blog about his experience, but he's now pulled those posts, and he's had to post an explanation why. While the details aren't clear yet of exactly why Jeremy had such an awful experience at the hands of Guardians of Freedom and Liberty, hard to get the true irony here, it appears that to be disgraceful behavior on their part. Which is true. But, you know, they're obviously, the reason why there's so much fear regarding the internet is you got to bear in mind that they really don't know anything about it. They claim that they do, but they don't. They didn't know anything about it 5 years ago. Everyone's so goddamn terrified now with this terror thing. No one has really learned what the hell the internet's really about. All these lawmakers, you think Orrin Hatch can find shit on the internet? You know, these people making all these laws regarding, you think they know a fucking thing about it? Not one thing, Jack. They have no idea about the culture. They have no idea what the culture is about. They just look at it as like a telephone or something. It's really kind of sad. Be nice if, you know, we could get these guys, give them like a download or something so that they could, you know, just sort of understand, they could quote unquote get it. That'd be handy. And, of course, there's a new business. You make websites illegal, you get black market webjacking so that people can get the data. People can get almost anything on the black market, drugs, passports, even human organs. And now you can add websites to the list. Instead, many authoritarian regimes that closely monitor and censor access to the internet, websites have become a black market commodity like any other. This is countries like China, some other countries like that. Oh, a lot of the Asian countries do that. Savvy black marketeers in cyber cafes, universities, private homes, and elsewhere exploit technological loopholes to circumvent government filters or charge a fee for access. According to the Open Net Initiative, a research organization to tracking blocked websites, black market access to filtered pages in Saudi Arabia, where, you know, they don't even, you know, you may as well, they don't even have a mouth over there, anywhere from $26 to $67 per website you access. This is like, you know, you should surf the internet because there's kids in Saudi Arabia starving for this shit. Such tactics become increasingly common. Sahin Ahmed, who runs the website, DefrashKabani.com, blocked in Iran for its unsanctioned religious content from an undisclosed location, says that people constantly email from inside Iran and ask for direction, help, or advice. And gaining access to the web, but he says the majority of people give up what they don't get through, or they get scared and don't try anymore. I find it kind of funny that people are using the internet to talk about God, you know, but that's okay. Sometimes it is the authoritarians that profit from the illegal trade. In Cuba, where Fidel Castro presides over one of the world's most technologically repressive regimes, who apparently make really nice cigars, I'll let you know, the communist government limits internet access on both by making the web prohibitively expensive by blocking unsuitable material, roughly defined as sites that doesn't promote Cuban tourism. Only a small minority of state officials are allowed limited internet access, yet computers are widely accessible. And according to Philip Peters, vice president of the Lexington Institute, a nonpartisan think tank, many state officials sell passwords and account information on the black market for monthly fees of about $20 to $30. Buyers, Peter says, use the net to visit free online email services to connect with friends and family in other countries. Yeah, I wouldn't want them talking to their friends or anything. Wouldn't want these people connecting with other people and, you know, talking about crazy ideas. Because that goes against the party line. We have to really get everybody in the modern age. Just a thought. Now, we all know that Kung Fu is mighty. And Kung Fu can be defined as many different things. But did you know that martial arts apparently can be used to treat ADHD? Now, this should probably be frontline news stuff. But, you know, we're not going to hear about it because there's no drug company that's going to make money if people start doing martial arts to combat ADHD. What does it mean to have focus? Deshi James Garzillo of Willow Grove Tiber Schumann's Karate asked his students at the start of class Monday night. Garzillo talked about the results of a study showing the positive effects martial arts has on young boys with ADHD. It's a pretty big finding, Garzillo said. I'm excited because people have a misconception of martial arts, and it educates the public about what we actually do. According to Tiger Schumann's website, Dr. Matthew Moran presented a study in spring 2004 for his doctorate of psychology dissertation at Hofstra University in New York. After they supported his findings, the university and Moreland published the study. I took my love of psychology and martial arts and mixed them together, said Moreland, who's a fan of Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan. Well, God love you, man. When Moreland observed children just starting out in Tiger Schumann's program, he noticed many of them had no ability to pay attention. Months later, he saw different attitudes and newfound discipline in the same students. Whoa, look at that. Maybe those crazy Asian folks were onto something with all this kung fu stuff. That's why it's thousands of years old. This experience motivated him to search out online, investigate possible linkages between martial arts and ADHD. What he found was a lot of theories and no proof. Nothing has been empirically derived. I want to change the face of that, Moran said. During his 12-week study, 18 non-medicated boys were divided into three test groups, according to Moran's study. Six of the boys took part in a martial arts intervention group through Tiger Schumann's karate martial arts program. Another six were involved in an exercise intervention group. The last six participated in a control group that did not include any kind of intervention. Moran reported that the martial arts form of treatment showed greater success than the program using exercise. But will we hear about this? Those of you wogs out there with children. Personally, if I was a parent, and I am not, okay, I would have my child in a martial art. No question about it. the martial art I would probably choose of choice for because of there's a lot of bullshit in martial arts, okay? And anybody who knows something about fighting will tell you that. There's a lot of bullshit martial arts out there. There's a lot of cults, a lot of guys who claim they're gurus and know it all and they're the shit and all the rest of it. It's all crap. But if you're going to put your kid in martial arts, I put him in probably Aikido. That would be, if I was going to support a martial art and say, this is the one I think people should take, I would recommend Aikido. Because it's really hard to put handcuffs on an Aikido master. As a matter of fact, I don't think it can be done unless you've got six guys with guns. That's just me. I think Aikido is probably one of the most practical and useful of modern arts. You know, I mean, if you're all going to be just rolling around on the floor of the bar with a broken bottle, yeah, I mean, you got problems. But if I was going to learn martial art, if I could, like, wiggle my nose and become a master in any martial art form, and you take away, you know, the really good superpowered ones like Tai Chi and Qigong, I would I'd probably take Aikido. So for those of you out there who are wondering a martial art to take, try Aikido. You'll dig it. If you want to know more about Aikido, by the way, pick up a book called The Dynamic Sphere by a fellow by the name of Morishi Yushiba. And he is the stereotype, by the way, where all those little bald dude with the beard, that stereotype, it comes from that guy. And it is a fucking cool book, man, let me tell you. Something that is not cool is not only is Walmart selling used cars, they're getting into that one. What could possibly be more terrifying than China's eighth or tenth largest, one of China's largest trading partners, a private corporation, which you know and love, known as Walmart, the corporation that has more people in uniform than the U.S. Army. What if Walmart became a bank? Walmart stores didn't get to be the world's biggest retailer by giving up easily. So despite being twice thwarted by lawmakers in its efforts to buy a bank, it has quietly but tenaciously expanded its foothold in financial services. In its latest move, announced on January 21, the retailing giant introduced a no-fee Walmart Discovery credit card that offers 1% cash back, which will launch with GE Consumer Finance in March. This relentless push to financial services is starting to send shivers through the banking industry. Few believe Walmart will stop with basic services and applies its low-price, high-volume formula to get another business category. And while other companies, from Nordstrom to General Motors, have bank and thrift charters or hybrid Federal Deposit Insurance Corp insured industrial loan companies in tow, no one trips alarms like Walmart. Many community bankers are convinced with the behemoth won't rest until it has obtained full banking powers. It's not a question of if Walmart is going to be the bank. It's a question of when, says D. Anthony Plath, a financial professor at the University of North Carolina in Charlotte. Clearly, Walmart is on the move. Over the past 3 years, the giant has steadily built alliances with financial service providers such as MoneyGram International and SunTrust Banks, enabling it to offer services such as bargain price money orders and wire transfers. It has bank branches operated by partners in nearly 1,000 of its massive super centers. That's fantastic. Banking with Walmart. That's a good plan. I like that one a lot. That's a pretty depressing concept for me to have to hit you with, so I'm going to hit you with a bit of good news now. Holland gave a very sound spanking to Scientology, which, as everyone knows, I'm a big fan of whenever Scientology takes a hit. The Dutch Attorney General has endorsed a verdict seen as backing free speech over copyright in the controversial case between the Church of Scientology and writer Karen Spank. Ooh, they spank some. Dutch ISP, XS for All, reports the Dutch Supreme Court, which will rule on this case on 8 July, has asked the Attorney General for advice. The Church of Scientology sued Karen Spank and her internet service provider, XS for All, Internet BV, after Spank posted Scientology documents on her website. In the early 90s, former Scientologist Stephen Fishman, who was brought to court because he had committed several crimes in order to get money to pay for Scientology courses, had used these documents to support his claims that he had been brainwashed. Dutch writer Spank was one of the many to publish these documents as early as 1995. In September of 1995, a bailiff raided Amsterdam premise of ISP Access for All to seize material posted by subscribers, which the Church of Scientology claimed violated its copyright. So here's a shadow run. Go into this place, use local law enforcement to shut them down and get the data. The organization also initiated exhaustive judicial proceedings, but each time the court decided in favor of Spank. Oh, sorry. In 2003, the court appeal to the Hague, the court appeal in the Hague rejected all of the Church of Scientology's claims against Access for All, Writer Spank, and 10 other internet providers. So fuck you. The court also overturned two lower court rulings, one of which stated that linking to material that infringed on a copyright wasn't in itself actionable. Dutch Attorney General D.W.F. Verkade has now published an 82-page opinion to the Dutch Supreme Court in which he upholds the decision that free speech can trump copyright. There it is. Yes. Although copyright resides under Article 1 of the First Protocol of the European Convention on Human Rights and can therefore be regarded as a human right, this does not exempt copyright from being used to balance against the right of freedom of information, Verkade concludes. Now, this just gives me hope. There's one that you want to just, you want to put that on your email as a quote. That's brilliant. It's expected that the Supreme Court will adhere to this advice. So it's not for sure, but it's expected they're going to adhere to that advice. And that brings up a really good point, you know. There's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on. There's a lot of free speech that needs to be heard that no one's talking about. And Scientology is, you know, they're a radical, not too many people like them, yet, but it's still a win. It's still a win. I love seeing stuff like that, and since this was a court ruling, maybe we can use this to our advantage. Because you can bet when people make these wonderful, wonderful legal, you know, platforms like this, we've got to be able to use them just as much as the corporations do. So let's see if we can use that to our advantage. That's a great piece of news. I'm really glad that happened. I'm liking a lot of what's going on in Holland. Those people seem to have a clue going on over there. Now, I got a couple of daily hacks for you today. I've been getting a bunch of daily hacks. Some of them are just so sexy that today we've got two for you, which is really, really good. One of them is a brain hack, and this guy actually is an interesting fella. I think he lives local here, so maybe I could hook up with him. I don't know. But it's a programmer's guide to the mind. In it, we will attempt to do things. We will try to explain how the mind works. We will also show how a person can make it operate more effectively. If we compare the task developing the mind to that of a taking a journey, this volume could be described as a combination road map and tourist guide. Now, this is a very idea. I like the idea of brain hacking a lot. Because since, you know, going with the idea that we are, in fact, meat bots, there is some spirituality involved here. But realistically, there's a lot of choice that comes into that. So from there, why not hack your own wetware? Just a thought. While there are many similarities between the brain and electronic computer, there are also several factors which makes the human computer unique. First of all, it's rather large. The electronic chips which are containing computers of the 90s are constructed from fat little squares of silicon no bigger than postage stamp. In contrast, the human thinking apparatus is a 3-pound, three-dimensional solid chunk of neurons and interconnections. The average human brain contains about 100 billion neurons and around 100 trillion connections. Compare this to today's computer chip, which is a total of about 10 million transistors. And you can understand why. At present, we have about sufficient technology to stimulate the brain of a slug. But unlike computers, which are made from silicon, the human mind is not just a conglomerate of mathematical calculations and dry logic. Rather, it feels as well as thinks. It has personal interests in its surroundings. It makes friends and enemies. And has both self and self-image. All of these factors will be included in our analysis of human thought. And it's a very good read. I think that anyone who can use their mind should be able to configure their mind. Why not? It's your mind, just like it's your body. You should be able to do whatever you want with your body. Why not do what you want with your mind to make it run more effectively? Overclock the brain. Now, we also got another great link here for the hack of the day, which is server provides. I asked a little while ago about USB programs. I wanted to get something that would be encryption or something that would you could just load into those little USB drives because they're very, very handy. If you don't have one, you can pick them up for really cheap right now. And I got a link here for you that was sent to me that has chat and all these programs that are built to run inside of those little USB carryalls. Now, these are the things that look like about the size of a keychain, you know, little plugins. You just jack into the back of the USB and there you go. Well, not only can you get encryption for that, apparently you can get chat and instant messaging that just run directly off the USB, browsers, portable Firefox, you get operating systems, you can get Linux, Windows CE, and VPN Linux, personal organizers, Essential PM and Sunbird, email, all this running off of your USB hard drive. There's crypto anywhere, another piece of, now that's necessary, especially if you got one of those units, and what a great way to back up your data. I was thinking about this, you know, because realistically, let's say you do like a, I don't know, like a disk image or something like that or compress it. Why have, a DVD-ROM when you can just have that little USB sucker? All you got to do is acquire a computer, jack in with your USB and bing, bang, boom, you're on the go. They got AB Word, Open Office. They got Zoom Player. They even got web authoring. So you can run everything off of a micro USB drive, which, if you just get one and use the encryption, is encrypted as well. Now, this is following that article I did a little while ago on that USB drive that, you know, if you tried to break into it two or three times, it just erases all of its data, which is fantastic because I like to imagine, you know, the face, the law enforcement people's faces when they open that, when they try to see what's going on there. Very, very cool. And it is another tool which we can use to be responsible for our own data, to be accountable to ourselves and to just take some responsibility for what's going on in our own lives. A lot of people go, what do you mean by taking responsibility, Sean? What do you talk about this? Why are you so concerned with data? Well, you know, sometimes it's very, very handy that if you know what you have going on with your own life, if you can control everything in regards to your own life, like the Michael Jackson song says, Man in the Mirror, if you can control what goes on in your own life, then you can begin to control the things that are going on outside of it. Nothing I hate more than seeing these dirty, smelly hippies who can't even take a bath trying to stop a war. That pisses me off. Not that I'm upset that people are trying to stop a war, but, you know, if you're going to be taken seriously, you have to be effective. And in order to be effective, you have to be in control. And being in control means you're in control of your own life. Now, this is just, you know, common sense, but it seems that there's a lot of people out there who aren't in control of their own life. You will find that through regular maintenance, through looking after your own kit, through tracking your data, through not being an information litter bug, these are all really basic skills that everybody seems to have forgotten. I think everyone should get back to basics. I think that we should make sure that, yeah, we've got our shit wired down, and then we can start worrying about spreading out. Maybe we're doing it backwards. Maybe there's too many people trying to change the world and not looking after themselves first. Just a personal guideline, just a personal thought. And these daily hacks are intended to be tools to help you get more control. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information that you need to stay alive in this crazy world we live in. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those people who have donated to the Sean Kennedy Show. Those are Anonymous, Topek, Jesse, The Great Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Forleet, Timor, Peter, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, WebLife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Darmude, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, Jason. And for the new subscribers for this month is Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, and Mark. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. And, of course, special thanks to the Hards Netrunners who make all of these articles possible. And these are the good people, man. The guys who do this, the guys who actually get out there and get me these stories, it helps me so much. And I know I breeze over you guys at the end of every show, but I do want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, because you have no idea how much it streamlines. And the stories are fantastic that I'm getting. I mean, I am a pretty good web ninja. I gargoyle pretty well. I've been doing it a long time. And some of these stories I get, I have no idea where these people get them from. I really do have to export my daily checks because some of the news sites that have been sent to are just fantastic. Anyway, the hard net runners are Fat Ninja, Astrofix, Wyandi, Bonsai Poppy, Sylvanus, El Choro, Polysci, Ricky Rocket, Falweir, Valerian, Cyclefish, Barbed Wireless, Madar, No Delete, Pet Shaw, West, Druid, Y, Simru, Soab. Thanks so much. No Digital Baptisms, again. And I didn't have any Sort Yourself Out. Just so you know, I do a Sort Yourself Out, so there's advice. You can ask me questions. I'll give you advice. And if you want to be named and get your online name going on, I do digital baptisms for you, your cat, the fish, whatever. And so that's it for this today. And thanks for everyone with your assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's Newsreel at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, got real retro today, and you want to go pick up the album by Skinny Puppy, To Dark Park. Good old Vancouver boys. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.